Welcome to the Self-Care Society podcast with your hosts, Celia Williamson, Ashley Kuchar, Louis Guardiola, and Carrie Shaw, a podcast devoted to those whose job it is to help others get or remain mentally, physically, and emotionally healthy, but who also need to take care of themselves.
How we're going to do this? By first showing you the filtered, pretty version of success, and then the real struggles, real work, and raw grit it took to get there, how they took care of themselves and also achieved their goals while doing it.
Together, we will work with you to improve and maintain your internal health and growth while helping you achieve your external goals and your next professional achievement in life.
And we're excited to show you how to follow your own individual and unique path and achieve the dreams you have while taking good care of yourself. So let's get started.
Hello, I am Isabel Matossian, and you are listening to the Self-Care Podcast. This month's topic has been belief in the good, not the perfect. So let's talk a bit about that today. This is a concept that can be applied to almost anything, and it is not only relevant for the perfectionists of the world, but they are the ones who are the most impacted, I think. The University of Texas Counseling and Mental Health Center discusses the difference between perfectionism and healthy striving. They say, most people experience an inner drive to improve their performance in some tasks, whether running a faster mile or earning a higher grade. Perfectionism, however, is not a healthy pursuit of excellence. Those who strive for excellence in a healthy way can take genuine pleasure in trying to meet high standards. Perfectionism, on the other hand, results in struggles with self-doubt and fears of disapproval and rejection. They go on to say this about perfectionists. Perfectionists tend to be all-or-nothing thinkers. They see events and experiences as either good or bad, perfect or imperfect, and nothing in between. Such thinking often leads to procrastination, because demanding perfection of oneself can quickly become overwhelming. A student who struggles with perfectionism may turn in a paper weeks late or not at all, rather than on time with less than perfect sentences. A perfectionist employee may spend so much time agonizing over some non-critical detail that a project misses its deadline. Perfectionistic behaviors increase one's vulnerability to depression, writer's block, performance and social anxiety, and other barriers to success. These blocks to productivity and success result from the perfectionist's focus on the final product. Instead of concentrating on the process of accomplishing a task, perfectionists focus exclusively on the outcome of their efforts. This relentless pursuit of the ultimate goal can seriously hinder their efforts. We can all get caught up trying to be perfect in our work or our lives. Sometimes we need to just accept that something is good enough, because the stress of worrying about it is doing more harm than good. I absolutely get trapped doing this. I always want every piece of my work to be the best. I want every single project I complete to knock someone's socks off and blow people's minds, but that's not reasonable, and it's simply not self-compassion. The solution is accepting when something is good enough. Easier said than done, right? Like when someone tells you not to overthink it, it's not a magical cure. You can't just sprinkle some fairy dust on your brain and tell it to slow down. So what do you do? How do you stop yourself from getting lost in that spiral? That's what we're going to focus on. The first tip is going to seem simple, but training yourself to do this regularly can take time. And that is taking a step back and making sure you've done all of the required aspects of the job. If it's a project that you're doing for work, maybe take a moment to say, did I check all of the boxes? If you did, then that's great. Let that be a comfort to you that even if it isn't flawless, it includes all of the necessary information. Once you reach that point, you can polish things and make them nicer while knowing that everything is there. If you have everything done on the checklist and you still feel like you're drowning, that's when it's time to take a walk and think about how much better it's really going to get while you're busy feeling that stress or anxiety. Build a routine or a plan that works for you when you're feeling overwhelmed like this or hyper-focused on perfecting everything. When I start to feel that way, I take my dog out for a walk. For the first few minutes of the walk, I let my mind wander and just enjoy being outside. When the pounding in my head starts to subside, I start thinking about it again, but this time with the goal of taking care of myself and not just the project or the job. At that point, I ask myself questions, such as, did I meet the basic requirements? Yes? Okay, then, moving on. How much better can I get this? And is it worth feeling the way that I'm feeling right now? Sometimes it's not worth it, and sometimes it is. But the basic need you have in that moment is determining what you have the power and emotional energy to do. Can you push through and make it better? Is it worth it to do so? If that's the case, then keep working at it. Keep striving to do the best that you can with your circumstances. But if it isn't the case, then remember that it's okay to do the bare minimum sometimes. It's okay if the best that you have is the least that they need. They at least need to know certain data points? Great, make sure they get that. But don't get lost in the sentences in between. Save that for next time when you're recharged and ready to go. For this reason, I love lists. I make a list for anything. Movies I want to watch, to-do lists for work, lists for specific projects, grocery lists, of course. Sometimes I'll even make a list of all of the things that are overwhelming me so I can look at them and reprioritize. For lists that actually require action, I write down the dates that they need to be done by for the items with set deadlines. For the items that don't have set deadlines, sometimes it helps to leave them open-ended, but at other times it helps to set a deadline for myself. That way it doesn't stay on that list forever. Being able to confront everything on a piece of paper somehow helps my mind calm down a bit. It makes me feel grounded enough to come up with a plan for action so that as I tackle each thing and check it off my list, my head doesn't feel scrambled or cloudy. There are also times when it isn't possible to make things easier in terms of your list. At those times, self-compassion is crucial. Take care of yourself the way that you would a friend or partner if you saw them struggling. Say, okay, this is a stressful time, but I'm going to make sure I'm eating my meals, taking naps when needed. When I get too stuck in my head, maybe I'm going to take a dance break to my favorite songs. However self-compassion looks for you. When things get too overwhelming, that's when we need to be intentional about self-care. Even if you don't want to go for a walk, but you know it usually helps, do it anyway. Maybe the accomplishment of doing that thing for yourself will help spur your productivity elsewhere even. I also want to point out that everything we've talked about here can be applied to your personal relationships or other circumstances beyond work. I'll use parenthood as an example. I hear so many parents worried that they aren't teaching their children enough or that their children aren't receiving all of the opportunities that they had hoped for. When that voice starts up in your head, just revisit the basics. Is my child cared for, fed and housed, safe and loved? It may not take away whatever disappointment you might be feeling, but at the very least, you know that your child's basic needs are met. Of course, you can keep striving to give them more, to broaden their worlds and their opportunities, and you should, but not at the expense of your own mental health. Give them what you can while maintaining your own light, joy, and satisfaction. When you're ready to be able to go above and beyond, then you'll also be there to enjoy that experience. Kids learn emotional processing and self-care from their parents as well. So set an example that it's important to take care of yourself and make sure that they know that they are loved and you're there for them. This goes for friendships or relationships as well. You don't need to constantly give and give and give. Sometimes it's okay to receive. Sometimes it's okay to send a text saying, hey, I may be low on communication for a few weeks and I'm sorry in advance. I'm just trying to get some stuff done at work. Set that expectation so that while you're stressing about the project, you don't also have to stress about being a bad friend or forgetting to text your friends. Of course, you can also do the opposite. Say, hey, I'm really stressed with work. Do you have some time to hang out or talk this week? While I am the kind of person who needs to burrow until I accomplish the big things, I know that not everyone is, and sometimes the fuel you need to get things done will come from the company and care of others. You don't need to constantly be the perfect friend or partner. You can be the one to lean on others or set boundaries when others are expecting too much of you. I watched a TikTok video recently, maybe you guys have seen it, where this woman is describing her relationship to her husband. She explains that it's never 50-50 in terms of energy, compassion, or general emotional capacity, because that's not reasonable to expect. Sometimes he comes home and says, I'm at 20. And she says, no problem, I have 80 to give, so I've got you covered. Or she'll only have 30 on a day, and he'll take 70. She also explained that if they're not able to add to 100 in their combined efforts, then they know to sit down together and come up with a plan for how they can be compassionate to each other and their relationship. I absolutely love that idea, because it doesn't say that either of them have to be perfect at any point. They just need their combined efforts to be good enough to support each other. Maybe the idea of a perfect marriage is splitting things 50-50, or maybe it's when both partners are constantly giving 100%. But remember, we're talking about belief in the good, not the perfect. Perfection is exhausting, unreasonable, unattainable, and a concept that does more harm than good. But things can be good. Let's not fall into the trap of expecting perfection in life or work. Accepting good enough doesn't mean that we give up or we stop striving to be better. As you go through life and continue experiencing new things and start learning throughout your life, you will continue to improve. But you'll be completely stalled if you aren't taking care of yourself. If you're drowning, you can't efficiently move forward. But if you learn to tread water, you can take some good breaths. Then you learn to paddle with your feet and push yourself forward with your arms through the water. Eventually, you'll be able to cut through the water. It's like learning anything. You need to hone the basics. And self-care is no different. You're learning, first of all, that your starting point is, and then the basic skills to tread water. So let's come back to my love of lists and the information from University of Texas that I mentioned before. Here's a list that they give us of coping strategies for fighting perfectionism. Number one, as we discussed, make a list of the advantages and disadvantages of trying to be perfect. When you make your own list of costs and benefits, you may find that the costs are too great. You may discover that problems with relationships, workaholism, eating and substance abuse problems, and other compulsive behaviors, plus the accompanying anxiety, feelings of inadequacy, and so on, actually outweigh whatever advantages perfectionism holds for you. Number two, increase your awareness of the self-critical nature of your all-or-nothing thoughts and how they extend to other people in your life. Learn to substitute more realistic, reasonable thoughts for your habitually critical ones. When you find yourself criticizing a less-than-perfect performance, whether it's your own or someone else's, make yourself stop and think about the good parts of that performance. Then ask yourself questions such as, is it really as bad as I feel it is? How do other people see it? Is it a reasonably good performance for the persons and the circumstances involved? Number three, be realistic about what you can do. By setting more realistic goals, you will gradually realize that imperfect results do not lead to the punitive consequences you expect and fear. Suppose you swim laps every day for relaxation and exercise. You set yourself the goal of 20 laps, even though you can barely swim 15. If you are a perfectionist, you soon may feel disappointed at your performance and anxious about improving it because you're focused on the outcome. You gain little sense of fun or satisfaction from your efforts. You may even give up swimming because you're not good enough. A healthier approach would be to tell yourself that 15 laps is good enough for now, so you continue swimming without anxiety. You don't necessarily stop trying to improve, but you swim mainly for exercise and relaxation for however many laps you can. Number four, set strict time limits on each of your projects. When the time is up, move on to another activity. This technique reduces the procrastination that typically results from perfectionism. Suppose you must find references for a term paper and also study for an exam. Set time limits. For example, decide that you will spend only 2 hours looking up references, then 4 and only 4 more hours studying for the test. If you stick to your time limits, you won't spend the entire day searching for elusive references, nor try to study late at night when you're too tired to be effective. And lastly, number 5, learn how to deal with criticism. Perfectionists often view criticism as a personal attack, which leads them to respond defensively. Concentrate on being more objective about the criticism and about yourself. Remind yourself that if you stop making mistakes, you also stop learning and growing. Remember that criticism is a natural thing from which to learn, rather than something to be avoided at all costs. I hope the episode today was helpful. Again, it's easier said than done. Learning to accept the good and not the perfect will open your heart and eyes to all of the good around you. Instead of hyperfixating on unattainable goals, be happy with doing the best that you can in each circumstance and move on to another accomplishment. Have a great rest of your week, everyone.
That concludes this week's episode. And remember, it's not selfish, it's self-care.